I have been so looking forward to getting Professor Hamamoto back. I've been praying Diddy News would break. We've had some kind of stagnancy for a few weeks. And finally it did. Of course, when I was in London, it all broke out last night about the superseding indictment, more people making allegations. But we're going to cover all that. We've got Professor Hamamoto for the first hour, and then we've got Lionel coming in at 10 p.m. UK. And viewers, thank you for all the people who have sent questions in today. If you do have any questions, put them in the chat. And as usual, Professor Hamamoto's links are in the description box. And he's got an excellent YouTube channel. I would advise you go over there and see all the deep dives he's been doing. So great to see you, my friend.
Mr. Atwood, thank you very much for the invitation. It's just wonderful being with you here today with your lovely audience, of course. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
I appreciate that. It's been a while since we did part three. So a lot has happened. But the main thing last night was this superseding indictment. So what was your interpretation of that development?
Well, my initial reaction is that we have a new sheriff in town, so to speak. His name is President Donald J. Trump. And I really think that he and his people want this indictment and the trial and the outcome to stick and to really send a message out to the captured state, DOJ, the military, the corporations, the university, of course, the media system, because of course we know that Donald Trump has appointed three civilian ambassadors to Hollywood, one of them being Mel Gibson, of course. So we're going to talk all about that today. But my initial reaction to answer your question is that they put in some mean dogs out there on the other, fighting the other side. And I looked up those attorneys too, because I want to do a little bit of profiling of some of those characters. There's some pretty high powered attorneys. But I thought the most interesting development, I think it this turn of events goes together, is that they brought in Maureen Comey, Comey, to be one of the lead prosecutors on the Sean Combs case. And she is the daughter of James Comey. And you might remember his name being related to the Obama administration and the Stay Behind Network that subverted Trump number one administration. It was Donald Trump that fired Comey. He was the director of the FBI at the time. So his daughter is now on the prosecution end. So the question is, and this is from my own experience with attorneys and having gone through the process myself as a target of a couple of investigations, they're all on the same side. The attorneys in the American system, the British system is probably very similar, but they're not loyal to their client. They're loyal to the bar. So having Maureen Comey in that position, I think she's a Harvard Law graduate. She's comes from an elite law school. Most of the people who are defending, with the exception of one or two, who are defending Combs, come from these sort of second-tier law schools where they really teach them how to be mean and win at any cost. They're like ghetto fighters. But Maureen Comey comes from that elite stratum. I think her position there is to help, con excuse me, is to contain the damage. Let
Take
me
your
get
time.
that.
You got a water handy? There you go. I'll join you.
I'm sorry, I'm not used to speaking.
It's all
I'm in
right.
isolation usually. But I think it's there as a strategy of containment. They don't want this to go beyond Sean Combs and his network, because as we, and we can talk about this if you like, because as most of us suspect, this goes well, way to the top. At the highest levels of a not government, governance. These are the unelected bigwigs that really control the new world order. And when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, the prosecution of Sean Combs is really small potatoes for these people. They just want to make sure that they're sealed off from any of the repercussions. And I think that's her main function right there. And if we understand that, then we, the people who are also trying the case on our own, independently of the crooked DOJ and the judiciary and the bar, see, we're going through this ourselves because of programs such as yourselves, and we can render through the court of public opinion our own judgment if we know these different streams that interconnect when it comes to Sean Combs. I'll give you another example. Few of us know that the music, the commercial corporate music industry, has a very long history with intelligence agencies. And as I was prepping for this talk today, I came across an article by an academic from Britain, by the way. You might want to speak with her. Let's see what her affiliation is. She's at the University of London, the School of Advanced Study. Okay, so this is high-level material. So I came across an article, and she referenced this book here. It's called White Malice. The subtitle is The CIA and the Covert Recolonization of Africa. And I will connect the PDD case and all the other takedowns of prominent Black Americans with this recolonization process currently. The fight over resources, uranium in particular, metals in competition with China primarily, it all is of a piece. But she points, and I had this on my library shelves, fortunately. So I looked it up, and sure enough, there's a whole chapter that talks about Louis Armstrong, the jazz great. He was used as early as 57 through 1960 as a propaganda pretext to go into these global tours of Africa. Say, see, look, here's a Black person. We're so good to our Negroes here in America. And of course, Louis Armstrong refused to tour the Soviet Union in 57 because he was protesting the conditions of the American Blacks during the peak of the civil rights movement. Not many people know this because he's been portrayed as just a funny entertainer, right? Hello, Dolly, you know, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he was a political, I wouldn't say he's an activist, but he knew what he was doing. So they sent him to Ghana, the State Department, and it's a CIA operation in order to set the groundwork for more and more political assassinations of African leaders, like Patrice Lumumba, right? And we are in the season of assassination here domestically. What the CIA and the FBI and other intelligence agencies have been doing continuously since the end of World War II is going in and putting their own regimes in place. And we see that happening in the United States of America, and the American people only figured it out within the last 4 to 5 years, thanks to people like yourself, independent media. Because certainly we know that the legacy media, the corporate controlled CIA media, has intentionally failed us. So part of my purpose here is to try to bring in all these seemingly unrelated threads to show how this particular line of inquiry goes far beyond TMZ celebrity fare. Because that's what the mainstream and the indie media are making it out to be. It's much more profound than that. It has to do with the very nature of the emerging New World Order that's going to be technocratically grounded and operating under these principles of AI. It's all in the news right now, including the music industry, by the way. Most of it already is AI. So they have to move all these troublesome people out of the way. That's part of my argument that I made quite a while ago, which I called out this whole PDD situation as an intelligence operation from the get-go. Anyway, that's sort of a long-winded way to begin our conversation.
No, that was a brilliant opening statement, and I appreciate that. And you touched on something there, because Since the last time we spoke, there's been a huge campaign against my channel due to, I believe, the reporting on Diddy and maybe Jay-Z. And it culminated a few days ago with me having to remove 90% of my Diddy content, including some of your episodes. Episode number 3 survived. Anyway, okay. One of the false narratives this campaign against me was trying to spread was that I, as a white person over here in England, was trying to colonize the black community and capitalize on beefs in the black community, and basically I was coming in there like some, you know, old English colonial character who only reports on black predators. what they'd failed to do is their research and see that, you know, I've covered Epstein, I've covered the royal family, I've covered Catholic priests. But yeah, they were trying to run with this false narrative to make me out to be this bad person for covering Diddy.
Well, it's ludicrous, but we're not going to accept that smear on face value, because it does inflict damage unless we address it. And I'd like to do that, take a couple of moments to do that. Number one, you've probably lived amongst black people and Latinos, the minority, quote unquote, dregs of society, the criminal underclass. You lived with them side by side in the U.S. prison system far more than most of these black bourgeois commentators who live in the suburbs, who went to all the elite schools. One of the big bones of my contention is this group of people called the black bourgeoisie. And these people are black in name only, right? And they're the ones who foment all this interest in DEI. They smear you and they talk about how you're appropriating black culture, which I claim, I mean, hip hop and rap is Japanese culture. It wouldn't be possible without inexpensive Japanese consumer electronics and DJ equipment. And people say, oh, you are racist. I'm just telling you the truth. So all this stuff, that's, you know, people can see through these shallow arguments put out by these commentators. But you know, let's address them honestly. These people have an axe to grind. They want to grind it on you and me as well. By the way, I'm repping Los Angeles today, the yellow people, right? I am a yellow person. Neolithically, we were known as the Huang He. That's a yellow river. Neolithic peoples have populated most of planet Earth. But unfortunately, the people in Pacific Palisades, they live on the Pacific, but they don't recognize the yellow.
Yeah, so these false narratives, they always suck some people in. And that's why I've raised it, to try and just keep awareness to people that they can be alert to this campaign that's been launched against us to try and destroy us from reporting on these people. But you mentioned in your email to me, you were interested in talking about Ashton Kutcher, Demi Moore, Brittany Murphy, and their associations with Diddy. Do you want to expand on that?
Yes, coincidentally, and this is, we just were in touch just yesterday, but coincidentally, I just finished watching this DVD called Just Married, and it's a rom-com, a romantic comedy, which, believe it or not, is one of my favorite genres of film. I just love the old-fashioned, going back to the 30s, romantic comedies up to the present, and this is a fairly decent one, and it co-stars none other than Ashton Kutcher and Brittany Murphy. And this was really when they saw that they had some kind of interest in each other beyond the film itself. And this is when they started hooking up, and they were an item for a while. But there was a third party to this relationship, and that is Demi Moore. And I know she's getting some delayed kudos and recognition for her recent film, which I haven't watched and probably won't, called The Substance. But she had this storied relationship, a marriage with Ashton Kutcher. I think she was 16 years old. I guess that was a big deal back then. But he never stopped the relationship with Brittany Murphy all the way through the marriage to Demi Moore. Now, this is where Sean Combs comes in. As you know, as your viewers know, Ashton Kutcher and Sean Combs are tight. Right, they're buds. They like to party, even though Ashton Kutcher is going around saying, "Did he who? What? He has an amnesia, selective amnesia." But so he was certain. This is what I'm seeing and reading in other sources. But Diddy somehow insinuated himself into this triangle for his buddy Ashton, and his MO allegedly. So that your videos stay up. Allegedly, his MO is to inflict "quote unquote" pneumonia to people close to him. Right? We know the backstory of his wives. Kim Porter?
Or is it Cassie Ventura?
Yeah, I'll be sure. They had the mystery pneumonia, which was diagnosed by the same medical doctor, by the way. And a lot of these medical doctors in the Hollywood, Brentwood, Beverly Hills area, they're as crooked as a dog leg, right? They work for the celebrity complex here. And that's what happened to Brittany Murphy. She died of this mysterious. So now it's coming back to a lot of people. Oh, that's what happened to Brittany Murphy. She was this rising star, and she's good. She was vivacious, bubbly. She was only 32 years old when she died. And her husband, I think they'd only been married a short time, his last name was Monjack, died just a few months later of the same mystery illness in their home. And prior to this, they were claiming that they were being harassed, stalked, and surveilled by what Randy Quaid and his wife Evie referred to as the Star Whackers. Years later, it's the same, similar situation to play. But no one was taking them seriously at the time because we didn't know all this history that was being made behind our backs in the world of celebrity until recently, where it's all coming out. So I thought, this case here needs to be revisited. And I listened to a podcast years ago with her bereaving father. She's actually Italian. She's Italian-American. Her father's straight up Italian. And he was claiming back then that she was a victim of foul play. He didn't point any fingers, but he did not accept the official report of her death. He even had her hair analyzed. And there were all these heavy metals in there, unusual amounts of it. And of course, Ashton Kutcher went silent on his relationship with her as well. And he's being scrutinized very closely as all these stories are coming out about this milieu.
I'm trying to ponder the mechanism because people get pneumonia all the time and young people or middle-aged people tend not to die. Yet we've got a disproportionate amount of people dying that are in the age category where it's relatively safe. So mm-hmm. Is it a case of someone comes in and they over-medicalize the person and that in combination with the pneumonia knocks them over the edge?
That's possible because the sedative, powerful sedative lithium figures into these stories quite often. We heard this in the case of Kanye West. He said they were trying to, his people, his this also brings in the whole issue of custodians, right? Britney Spears, custodial help. There's these crooked judges and these people in so-called mental health, the mental health mafia, who are putting a number on these targeted celebrities and saying, you have to go under custodial custody. We're going to take your capital, your wealth, and we're going to control it. And you're working for us. This is like the old-fashioned mafia extortion racket writ large with a medical overlay, psychiatry, and so-called mental health. This is something that hopefully incoming Czar of Health, Robert Kennedy Jr., will look at, the so-called mental health industry. We have lots of mentally ill people who aren't just appearing crazy out of the blue like Kanye West. They tried that on him. It didn't work. The public took his side. The public has taken the side of Britney Spears, who's written her own book about her predicament, and other celebrities who are drugged up so they can be controlled and their wealth extracted from them by these custodians, these crooked judges, and the people who pay them off to shunt their wealth away. This is what's happening regularly. Now we see that Randy Quaid was a prophet. He was stigmatized as just a crackpot. Him and his wife, Evie, they went on a run, on the run. I'm interested to see what they have to say now, because they've been proven right. So this is all part of the body of work that's been in play for several decades now. It goes back to through the 30s when the mob came in from Chicago and strong-armed the Hollywood moguls into this. Same with the music industry. And it's classic mob tactics. It's extortion. It's a racket. And it also feeds into the philanthropy world, right? We remember the testimony that Ashton Kutcher gave in Congress about protecting the children, right? That just sort of came out of, I didn't realize he was a humanitarian. And we find out that it's part.
Let me just tell the viewers, sorry to interrupt, but sure. Professor Hamamoto has got 49,900 subscribers presently. We've got 1,100 people watching the stream. He just needs 100 subscribers to get to 50,000, folks.
Wow.
We have got until the hour of Professor Hamamoto, so I will periodically refresh this. But come on, I'm going to put his link in the chat. Let's get Professor Hamamoto to 50,000 subscribers by the end of this interview. This is the goal. If you know anyone who will subscribe, send him or her the link. And tell him, help Professor Hamamoto get to 50K. Let's go. All right. So sorry, Daryl. Let's interrupt you.
No need to apologize, Mr. Atwood. Thank you very much for the telethon in the middle of your live cast. Drive up those subscriptions. I want to be an influencer. I want to be a YouTube celebrity. Not really.
M13, subscribe. Laureen has just subscribed. Helen has just subscribed. Tommy just subscribed. Vanessa. Michael, Emma, Deborah, yes, thank you guys, thank you, Jason, yes, Catherine, be happy, yes, thank you, Kat, yes, thank you, it's rising.
Thank you.
There we go. So if you just tuned in, we saw the Diddy superseding indictment come down last night, and I was in London. I immediately contacted Professor Hamamoto. So we could get a discussion of this going. And then we've got Lionel coming in 30 minutes on the same subject. And he'll also be talking about the DC crash, the plane crash, and his theories around it. So when you saw the superseding indictment come in, you know, we've got more alleged victims now. You know, they're expanding it. They're saying they may even introduce more down the road. You started out this interview saying that Trump's, you know, making a display of law and order, and, you know, Diddy's going to go down. Basically, that's what is being signaled to you. And is the superseding indictment part of that signaling?
Yes, but remember the other part, and it's probably even more crucial. Not only is his new Justice Department going to make the charges stick against Sean Combs and his coterie, his network, but remember the second part is containment, damage control. Maureen Comey is there to make sure that the other people above Sean Combs aren't splashed, right? They want to make sure that their man, for example, Arista, what's his name? the ancient dude? Clive Davis. I get him confused with Clive Barker, the horror director. Clive Davis. Like, who is he? He goes back to the days of, gosh, Meyer Lansky. You know, it's continued. There's a through line in all of this, except now those gangsters of old, which were not allowed to be in the white shoe profession of the law. They couldn't even get into Harvard as Jews, right? But now they are the lawyers. They are on Wall Street. They are, and they're in the political level. You've got Chucky Schumer and Adam Schiff. They're in elective office. So they've gotten over it, and they want to make sure that their whole criminal enterprise continues into the future. And by the way, they're trying to use yellow people in exchange. They're rolling out the black people right now, but they were rolling in yellows in order to be that sort of shield for their earlier criminal enterprise. I wrote a whole book on it. It's called Servitors of Empire. And most of them are scientists, engineers, AI experts like Suchir, Balaji, techies, multimillionaires at age 30 who are pioneering the new AI, which people like Sam Altman want, right? You've got some massive wealth here that's up for grabs now, and the music industry is only a part of it. Now, I don't know if you call this, but a lot of top artists, singers, songwriters were selling all or part of their catalogs, their publishing. This is going on a couple years ago, and I couldn't understand why all of a sudden Bob Dylan was selling part of his catalog. He's a Nobel laureate, and he was just one person, and it was being sold to this front company called Hipgnosis, and their logo is a dead elephant upside down. They're signaling something. The music industry is a dead elephant. So these people got advance warning, and they sold their intellectual property because all that's going into the AI system. But they have an inconvenient, not in my view, but in their view, they have an inconvenient body of creators, of artists, whose property they want. They got rid of a couple of prominent ones already. They go by the name of Michael Jackson. They go by the name of Prince. Earlier than that, they go by the name of Sam Cooke, which had his own publishing company before he was set up. But now they're sweeping out the whole raft of these individuals by bringing up all this unseemly information and making sure that these charges stick. So I'm looking at it downstream, not from headline to headline. I'm looking at the larger scope of all this. And the LA fires play a critical role in this cleansing process, almost on a ritualistic level, if not a ritualistic level, the fires. And one of these comedy, I can't remember, she was one of these people who were caught up as a victim of the, forgot her name, but she predicted as much, that there were going to be these calamities and fires and disposal of evidence in the Los Angeles area. And sure enough, it happened.
And what do you think? They're trying to take advantage of this to do the smart cities?
Yes, that's what's being bandied about. A lot of this, and you know, I come from the academic world, a lot of this has been planned for decades from the universities. And you have them in the UK too. They're called the Departments of Urban Studies or Urban Planning or Design. These are the people who are decades ago have already workshopped how they want the new city of the 21st century to function. And we play a really, really small part in that. We're sort of like the lubricant for the machines there. They want us to put us in these electronic vehicles called Teslas or super trucks. And Elon Musk is part of this as well, because that is not a car company. That is a data collection company. That's their primary function. So they're gathering all this intel from the music world to our driving habits, our retail purchases, to our psychology, through our Twitter account, or X accounts, Our socials, all of that is going into this Borg. This is the Great Reset. This is the true, not Klaus Schwab, right? He's just their spokesboy. Of course, the WEF is part of it. But of course, Donald Trump is calling them out. He's pulled out of the World Health Organization. So there is hope here. And it's coming from the grassroots. It comes from the journalists and the independent researchers and journalists and scholars who have been pursuing these lines of inquiry, even under the threat of official harassment like yourself, or just everyday trollism, right? But we push on because the truth is irrepressible.
We pushed you up to 50,000 subs, and people are congratulating you. You've just reached it.
All right. Peace, everybody. Now I want to get to 100,000 so I can have the play button from TubeView. I'm going to put back here on my trophy case. It'll
they
be
didn't
the
even send me one. They didn't even send me one.
They didn't send you one? For shame.
You've had loads of questions come in, but before we start on the questions, Professor... Yes. Can you just give me your thoughts on Jay-Z? Because, you know, he's really been, like, outspoken and trying to destroy Busby. And the word on the street is that something heavy is going to come down on Jay-Z within the next 2 weeks, even though he's been protesting his innocence. Which way do you think it's going to play out?
Well, I think he's connected with P. Diddy, not just... as a friend, as a professional colleague, but in all the different hijinks, I think he's going to tumble with them. They're kind of hooked together like these mountain climbers. Once one of them falls, they all go down. And so this is just brave talk. You know, he's whistling in the dark, so to speak, to keep his courage up, to make sure his people don't abandon him. But they're going to peel away one by one. And this is my prediction. I think he and Beyonce are going to split up. This 2025 is going to be the year of the breakup of power couples in America, at least. One of them being Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle. She didn't go to the inauguration. That's a big tip off. And there's going to be a bunch of other people that are going Splitsville. And by the way, I was just watching this great documentary from 2001. It's called Scratch. Right. Hip hop and rap, all this came from the streets. It came from the community. It was an organic art form, and it was hijacked by the intelligence agencies. Right. We know that by now, and it's becoming painfully obvious what happened. We've been cheated for the last couple of decades when people were inserted to bring in a whole new cohort of viewers and make them into a sort of a criminal cohort, and help them feed the prison industrial system in America, while at the same time creating a huge industry that the old-time mafia that goes back to the 30s are making the bulk of the money. And the net result is the same. The black artist, the creative genius behind much of American culture and world culture, gets left with nothing except ruined reputations and zero money. Their attorneys are going to get the money. And the state.
Tammy wants to know, where can she find Scratch?
Well, I was checking on YouTube, and there's a couple of people who've uploaded there. So check YouTube under Scratch. The whole, it's not quite as, the fidelity's not so good. So I would recommend getting the DVD. But you can find it there. You get the gist of it. And a lot of it's taking place in my neighborhood, Northern California, the Bay Area. And one of the great DJs of all times, DJ Shadow, went to UC Davis, where I went to school. So the point I'm raising is that art and resistance go together, and they can spring up anywhere in the world. It takes creativity initiative to do that. And that's what the corporations have, and the military, NATO, and the Pentagon, that's trying to capture it all. That's, they have not been able to figure out that X factor. They think they're going to solve it with AI, but They have misplaced hopes because we, the people, are going to fool them with our boundless creativity. This proves it. Like, we're about ready. We're due for a revival, a creative revival in the music business. That's why I'm not really, I don't really care if Metallica goes down the drains and that these artists are not making any money from Spotify, which is a Swedish company, by the way. Sweden is a very much part of this, a strategic note of the killing of the music industry as we know it. It doesn't bother me because we can play in our bedrooms. We can meet up and have a play, just like the early days of the rock revolution in swinging London. They would just go to the clubs, and then there's Jimmy Page sitting there. There's Eric Clapton on a bar stool. I say, hey, let's have a play. And then say, hey, there's a guy from America. His name's Jimi Hendrix. That was the scene. It grew organically from a bunch of post-war war babies, Pete Townsend, all of them, who said, man, we want to make music. We want to express ourselves. So we're at that juncture right now.
Right. There's 20 minutes left. Are you okay to take some questions from the viewers?
Absolutely. I love this part.
All right. Get your viewers' questions in, please, folks. And I'm curious about this one. What's your opinion on the helicopter and airplane crash in New Jersey?
I think it was a signal to the Trump administration that he better watch his six, right? They're coming after him with helicopters, drones. It's going to be some sort of airborne aerial, some sort of aerial attack. So I don't think it was an accident.
All those strange drones that was out prior to Trump coming in, what was your interpretation of that?
I think that was partly to make us look up in the sky, look away by looking up, but also sending a warning, right? All this, it's all about the timing, right? When is this happening? Pre-inauguration, Trump's coming in. They don't want to celebrate his greatest comeback in American political history, his intelligent and beautifully striking wife, who came in. I did the talk with Lena Poo on my recent one. She breaks down the whole semiotics, the sign language, the signs of her wardrobe, which the message she's sending out. But she is on a mission, you know. Her brim was pulled down here. You didn't see her eyes. She's coming after these people. Right? It's going to be a really interesting 2025, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, let me just correct that. The plane crash was DC, not New Jersey. All right, so Vanessa, hi, Professor. Love this show. Do you think Elvis Presley was unalived?
No, well, he had a personal physician who was feeding him all kinds of narcotics. I think he was being controlled, like a lot of these other celebrities, by his management, which was not just Colonel Parker, but the whole... I think it was RCA that owned a lot of his catalog. So not deliberately assassinated, but he was kind of put down that path because he was at a certain point, he was alive. He was worth more dead than alive, his catalog. And it's interesting to see who owns the Elvis Presley recording catalog. It's going to be some attorney in New York City, guaranteed. Fusion Centers.
Again, it's they bring these doctors in, don't they? And they give them the meds. And there's never an inquiry. It's just the guy's died. It's like the ideal way to unalive someone because there's no investigation, there's nothing. It's So Naranjit is saying, what does the professor think about fusion centers and undercover roles? What's a fusion center?
Well, fusion centers were set up as regional spy nodes for the intelligence agencies in America and the other Five Eyes countries as part of the British Commonwealth. They're set up all over. What people don't understand is fusion centers, the university, major research universities are acting as fusion centers. gathering intelligence. For one, they are getting all the latest research on AI being produced by Indian students and Chinese students primarily for their professors, who are then later on disposed of and their patents are stolen and they're murdered so that they can create the next wave of technology. That's the Fusion Center. And they also, on the other hand, create DEI, critical race studies, queer studies, in order to deflect what's really going on at these fusion centers, which are universities, which is this next wave technology, which is meant for enslavement, human enslavement, not liberation. We need to very quickly in 2025 fall out of love with Elon Musk. I think it's imperative that we start getting beyond this initial wave, getting into the honeymoon period. We need to get back on track and look at him and other figures critically. Yeah. These are all going to be part integrated within communities, fusion centers. That's part of the model.
Yeah, David Icke is not happy with Elon Musk or Trump. And, you know, Elon's helped my life regarding Twitter. I'm not shadow banned anymore. And Trump's helped my life regarding freedom of speech. We saw, you know, he said, we can't be punished. I did get a few days later, I got a strike on Facebook.
There you go.
Tashel is saying, can you give us the lowdown on Elon?
Well, again, there's no one man, one person, one institution that can confer protection or our God-given rights. That belongs to us. Right, Elon Musk is not going to be, Trump is not going to be. We can temporarily enjoy some of the privilege that they confer on us, but who are they? They can't confer anything on anybody. Only God can. So, I don't know if that answers the question.
Let's
we need
keep
to
going,
fall out of love.
There's a lot of questions. They're coming in thick and fast. Why is RFK's family going after him so hard?
I was disappointed, but not surprised that his cousin, Caroline Kennedy, came after him. At a certain point, that part of the Kennedy family and RFK Jr. himself got the message, and that is that you work for us. We don't care how rich and wealthy and powerful is. You are not, you're going to toe the line. You saw what happened in the case of your uncle and your own father. So his act of political expression, trying to become the head of the Health and Human Services in the U.S. is such a great act of political courage. And the other Kennedys have lost that. They lost that original hustler, desperate streak of the early Irish immigrants. They became assimilated and part of the establishment.
They think that the deep state is all powerful and they've cowed down. Is that it?
That's it. RFK.
Do you think?
No.
Do you think we are near to the end of the world? Have you watched the doomsday clock lately?
No. Are we getting closer?
I think it's 59 seconds. It's the closest it's ever been. It just got moved.
Well,
I'll check that.
I've been to Hiroshima several times. I lived outside of it. I lived outside of Okinawa. I've seen some of the most incredible battle sites that were always threatening to end civilization. And although the threat is real, I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, so don't worry about it. Let's worry about the problems that we can handle in our own lives by addressing these questions that Mr. Atwood is raising day to day in his show. This is all going into the creation of an enlightened and informed electorate, a population. And that's the biggest threat to the establishment of all. So I don't think we're... That'd be too easy. I don't. It's not going to end.
89 seconds to midnight.
Yeah, I never had put much store in the so-called Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. You know, they need to be checked into who are they and what is it? All of these institutions, all these journals, all these publishers, all these movie makers, they're cut out of the same cloth. They need to be looked at. But anyway, people can are free to believe whatever they want.
When are things ever going to be fair?
Never. And that's why we have job security. Yeah, but that's such a weak question. I'm sorry, I apologize, but that's a weak question. Yeah, come on, man. Another one I hate. Are you scared that you're going to be killed by the Illuminati? Yeah, that's a projection of your own fright, your own insecurity, and your own timidity. And we don't have time for that anymore. We're past that. Right? I mean, Donald Trump took a bullet. That's a gangster, man.
And jumped up. Right.
Yeah, he jumped and said, fight, fight, fight. So stop asking the weak questions.
Who is Harvey Pasternak?
Well, he was one of these controllers. He was a Canadian national, and he's connected with Mossy. I'm going to use that code term so that this video stays up. And he was in there to feed his mark the lithium. And say, listen, you know, if you don't play it our way, this is, goes back to the 1930s extortion racket. Right? I have this great book. And by the way, it's done in Asia, too. The whole Asian K-pop industry, the Hong Kong film, it's all mobbed up. It's all gangster. They make the world go around. It's not American. It's not Jewish. But here's a good book if you want. It's an academic book, Columbia University. It's called The Rise and Fall of the Jewish Gangster in America. There's a whole literature on it. It's not me saying this. All right? This is the history we're talking about. And what was their scam? They like to burn stuff down on the Lower East Side. If you did not pay up, your shop was going to get burnt down.
And all of the professor's recommended reading is in the description box still. So there's loads of books. All right, next one is from Anol. It surprises me how many men join these clubs, groups, secret societies. Is there a testosterone crisis? Does love mean anything today?
There is a testosterone crisis in that there is a lack of it. And it's being made up for by these lad shows, let's call them. Joe Rogan, that's kind of like substitute chest hair, substitute testosterone. And there's a whole slew of them, and they're mostly guys, incels, who watch these shows. Oh, yeah, Joe Rogan, yeah, blah, blah. And they're all retooled comedians. So grow your own chest hair or get a Merkin and paste it on your chest. But yeah, secret societies are a cultural universal. They're everywhere. They're in every tribal society as well.
That's the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. Oh my God. Harry wants to know, Professor, do you think the damage the internet has done to hierarchy, will it be controlled or pulled down?
It'll be continued to be controlled, but we, as I've alluded to earlier, we the people keep surfacing, right? It happened with the scratch revolution, the turntablists, the people who were the early DJs in the clubs, the underground. It's irrepressible. So as a result, and new hierarchies build out of that. It's a constant state of creation and destruction. And again, for the young people who are watching, this is your moment. This is your time. Be ready. Be prepared. Study hard and get your head together so that you'll be able to make your contribution to take us into the mid-21st century. Because that's where it's going.
Did you hear about China creating 100 million degrees for 18 seconds? Do you think fusion is going to be a good energy source?
I didn't hear about that one. But they do have the nuclear weapons. They're not the only country. I have been reading and seeing reports that the whole DeepSeek that partially crashed the stock. I don't know if you still follow the stock market, but it caused it to take a dip. It's typical party, Communist Party BS from China. And I've been to China more than a few times, and it's the land of simulations and fake everything. Fake hotel rooms, fake buffets, fake purses, fake cars, fake restaurants. Why not fake software?
I'm putting the professor's YouTube channel in the live chat. Let's keep going with the subs. And we've got 5 more minutes before Lionel of Lionel Media comes in on the superseding indictment and the crash in DC. All right. So, Pamela, do you see society mirroring The Handmaid's Tale?
Not anymore. And I would add to that that Margaret Atwood is an intelligence asset. She's a Canadian subject. And guess what? Her brother is a neuroscientist. It all kind of runs in the face. So is Borat. Remember him? Borat? His brother's a neuroscientist. They're the new wave of MFers. Mind, you know what. But they're doing it psychotropically through so-called neuroscience. Elon Musk is into neuroscience. That's the big meme of 2025. If anybody starts uttering neuroscience, run for the hills. They want to put a chip in your head. So yeah, Margaret Atwood is she's a wanker.
Yeah, not from my Atwood clan. She's only got one T. So Tiff, do you think any of the celebs can pay their way out of any of these indictments or future indictments?
Depends on which one. I don't think Sean Combs will be able to. I don't think Jay-Z is going to be able to. But some of the lower level and the higher level ones, they're not even going to go after them because Maureen Comey is going to make sure that they're sealed off. Right. Yeah, again, they're only going to get some of the more prominent of the celebrities, and we're going to walk away, not us, but the larger public is going to walk away saying, oh my gosh, we really averted disaster. That was so close. And of course there are, they never stopped and they never will.
Yeah. Jay-Z is being propped up right now by the tens of billions of business deals that are riding on his rep. But according to Tisa Tells, he's going down in 2 weeks' time. Something big is coming. All right, so right. Next question is, did Scientology have anything to do with Elvis's death? He opposed his wife's membership.
I didn't realize that. I do remember that, if you're talking about Priscilla Presley, I think she was involved with Scientology. I don't know if they had a direct hand, but from what I understand, they monitor a lot of what their membership does and their opponents, and they'll go after them too. And they hide behind admiralty law. L. Ron Hubbard made sure he stayed on his ship and went from port to port so that the feds or any other governments couldn't touch him.
Did you know Michael Jackson owned the Beatles music catalog that Sony wanted? Would the catalog automatically go to his kids?
I did know that, and I did know that he pretty much bought it from under Paul McCartney. And Paul McCartney's been a very nice and a gentleman about it. I would have been pissed off because they collaborated on a couple of occasions. I don't know who owns the catalog now. I don't know if it belongs to his kids or not. I think it probably belongs to the lawyers who oversaw the estate.
Why did Obama and Oprah not do a damn thing for Chicago?
Wow. Thank you very much, Tammy. Because they are symbolic black people, right? Remember I used the concept of the black bourgeoisie. That's what they are. They've been groomed. They've been brought forward from the very beginning, from cradle to the current times, to occupy a certain position within this drama, this theatrical performance. But even they are not untouchable. So Obama's been making nice towards Trump, and Oprah Winfrey's nowhere to be seen. Maybe she's neighbors with Ellen DeGeneres. She's moved to England or something. I don't know. She has homes all over the place.
But do she's you believe not, the was the DC plane crash an accident or a mistake, do you believe?
It was not a mistake. It was a message. Just like the airplanes that went into the Twin Towers, that was not an accident or a mistake. The proof of concept, that was the proof of concept, being able to control remotely and hack into these pilot mechanisms. They can do it with a helicopter or a private aircraft. They could do it with cars. Michael Hastings.
M13's wondering if you know anything about voice-to-skull harassment.
I read a little bit about it. Let's see. There have been any number of not just celebrities, but everyday people who have claimed to have been victimized by it. There's an author. Her name is Renee Pittman, P-I-T-T-M-A-N. She's written a series of books on electronic warfare that I can recommend for you to look at for more in-depth discussion.
Right. I can see that Lionel is in the online studio. Dr. Hamamoto, it is always a great pleasure. Do you want to just tell the viewers what they can look forward to at your channel, your new subscribers?
Yes, thank you for taking me over to past the 50K mark. I can go and celebrate now. Well, this coming Sunday, I'm going in on Elon Musk. He has a biography, which I'm finishing reading, by Walter Isaacson, who's sort of like the scribe for all the New World Order figures. He comes out of the Newsweek magazine. He was a former editor, but now he's sort of like the transcriptionist for all these big wigs like Elon Musk. So that's this Sunday. And I would also recommend people look at the previous talk with Lena Kapu as the guest. She's a designer. She is a planner, an architect. And she had a brilliant discussion about Melania Musk and what she represents to this new level of political engagement that we're seeing in 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be great.
Thank you, my friend. And viewers, this video will take you over to Lionel. If it doesn't, click on the channel icon. We will be live. It will take you there. Subscribe to Professor Hamamoto if you're watching this on the replay. The link is in the description box below this video. And I look forward to speaking to you soon, my friend. Take care. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. There we go.